If you have probation or deferred adjudication and those were revoked and the defendant was confined, then you're in 1107 territory. If it's not a scenario where there's been revocation and confinement, then the right vehicle is 11.072. So that would be the defendant challenging the constitutionality of a probation term, someone who successfully completed probation but wants to attack the underlying validity of that conviction, or a defendant who was revoked but not confined, which takes us to tip number two, thinking broadly about confinement and restraint. Confinement means confinement, yes. It means restraint. It means being not free in your liberty. But it also refers to the collateral consequences that result from conviction. I heard Michael this morning talking about employment as one of the collateral consequences that the Court of Criminal Appeals has recognized in Harrington always flows as a potential consequence of a felony conviction. So I got concerned as a litigator. It's like, how do I find these? Where do I look to determine what's a potential collateral consequence? Okay, I know sort of basic civil liberties, my right to bear arms, my right to vote, whether or not I could be an executor in a will or serve as a guardian. But I needed to find other collateral consequences, particularly those key to employment. And there are two great resources. Our State of Texas Law Library has compiled statutory restrictions on convicted felons in Texas. It's a great resource guide. And then the American Bar Association's criminal justice section did a multi-year collaboration, and they have an inventory of collateral consequences for criminal convictions that goes to every state in the United States. When you're talking about collateral consequences, please tie the collateral consequences to your case. Once again, facts matter. Be explicit about it. Explicitly plead the collateral consequences and explain what they are. That means as a defense lawyer, for example, you're going to want to ask your client about her plans for school in the future, or how she intends to make a living, or possibly where she intends to live. You need to know something about the litigant, the applicant's future life, to be able to argue about collateral consequences. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose we have a probation for drug possession that gets revoked. The defendant is confined. She does her time. She's now released. She wants to attack that conviction on the grounds of an involuntary plea. What would be a collateral consequence? Well, one could be that a drug conviction would preclude her ever receiving a student loan, so a federally funded student loan. So if she intended to go to college and pursue a degree, she wouldn't be able to fund it. A strong collateral consequence, a fact that could be alleged and proved in your writ application. So think broadly about collateral consequences and get to know something about your individual client and what their future aspirations are. The next slide is the only one we have that speaks solely to defense counsel, but I'd like to land here for a little bit of time. And this is memorializing the scope of work. Nobody wants an unpleasant surprise later on, whether it's an ethics complaint, a fee dispute, finding yourself doing work you hadn't intended to do, finding yourself paying for something that you didn't think was going to be your financial obligation. So, scope of work, what are you going to do? Some lawyers in a writ context will agree to do an opinion letter. An opinion letter would be just as it suggests, I've done the research, I've done the investigation, here are the potential grounds I think that are presented in your case and the likelihood for success. Or your scope of work might be filing a preliminary writ application and supporting memorandum of law, taking the case to federal court, filing a federal writ. If you're in the federal system, filing a federal appeal if writ relief is denied at the federal level, taking a petition for certiorari. When we're not careful as defense counsel and we say, I'm going to pursue your writ, how far are you going to pursue it? Are you taking it all the way through the federal system? Is it just a Texas matter? And if you're in the federal system, how far will you go? The second set of criteria for memorializing the scope of work involves the fees that are going to be charged. Many practitioners are now doing a stair-step option with one level for investigation and a second level for actually filing and litigating a writ. Litigation costs are an area that lawyers sometimes neglect to cover in their